Philistine side actually decided, well, now's a good time to start fighting for Israel again. And so they start turning on the Philistine. It's just utter chaos. And that's where we find ourselves in scriptures. Let me get my glasses. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 24. And the men of Israel were distressed that day. For Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on my enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. Let's pause real quick. And the people were distressed that day. Okay. I got to tell you something. I got to point out something. This is weird. Have you ever been next to somebody who's singing out of harmony? Or maybe you've been to your child's concert, the recital, and there's that one kid that plays the flute just so off key that it's like nails on a chalkboard. Y'all know what I'm saying? Was it just my kids that couldn't? Okay. And it's just like, And this verse is the flute at your kid's concert playing off key. This verse doesn't belong in the Bible. Because it says in the verse before, because I want you to notice, and the people were distressed that day. I want you to notice the verse before. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over them unto Beth Haven. So the Lord delivered them that day, and the people were distressed that day. It would make sense, maybe, if they were different days. But the same day that the Lord delivered them, they were distressed on that day. That makes absolutely no sense to me until I read a little bit further, because this falls at the feet of Saul, who was not a good king. He wasn't a godly king. Let's pick back up in verse 24. Cursed be the man, because Saul adjured his people. He's saying that he ordered his people, cursed be any man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. So what's going on here, kids? They were hungry, and they weren't allowed to eat. They were starving, and they were in a weakened condition because of a stupid oath that King Saul had put in. And I want you to notice the pronouns of what Saul had said. Cursed be any man that eateth anything until I am avenged of mine enemies. I and me. I am avenged of my enemies. Not God is avenged. Not God's people are avenged. It is all about me. Now, some of y'all lead companies. Some of y'all lead offices. Some of y'all lead families. Some of you lead friend groups. In some sense, all of y'all are leaders in the kingdom of God. Maybe it's just friends. Let me tell you something about leadership. It's not about you. It's never been about you. It's not about your precious little ego. It's not about your special little agenda. It's not about you. This is one of the things I love about the doctrines of grace, because it gives us a full view of even the greatest leader is totally depraved in the sight of a holy God. And Saul's agenda is not to advance the kingdom of Saul. Saul's agenda is to advance his own standing. And he sends his people down a ruinous path. So he says, cursed be the man that, and the people of Israel distressed that day for, this is because, this is the reason. Saul had adjured his people saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any of the food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan, and we're going to read through the verse 30, but Jonathan heard not what his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he putteth forth the end of his rod that it was in his hand, and dipped it into the honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. In other words, he was refreshed. He felt good. He had some food. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any of this food today. And the people were faint. Then Jonathan said, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if happily the people had eaten freely to the day of the spoil of their enemies which they found? And had there not been a much greater slaughter among the Philistines. So let me back it up, lay it out for the kids, not in the King James. So they're in this battle, right? They've been fighting all day long. They're tired. They're weak. Not that they are weak soldiers, but they are in a weakened condition because they weren't allowed to feast upon the spoils. Back then, one of the cool things about being in the army is you were allowed to keep the spoils of the people that you killed. And so if I'm fighting a Philistine and I slay the Philistine, and they got some change in their pockets, I get to keep them. If they got Versace on their shoes, I get to take them. If they got the Ginsu knife for a sword, I get to take that sword. It's mine. That was one of the privileges of being a soldier fighting for the king. You could make some bank. And Saul had said, I don't want you eating anything. I don't want you doing anything because the Philistines are on the run and we're going to take them down. We're going to chase them down and we're going to run them down and we're going to kill them. This ends today. So it was all about Saul's agenda. He was forbidding them from what we would call the celebration. And I just want to pause because this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Brothers and sisters, every day, no matter how bad it gets, is a day that the Lord has made. Every day is something that you can find something to celebrate. And if nothing is there, then you can celebrate your eternal state before a heavenly God who loves you so much, and you weren't worthy of it. If you got nothing else, you can celebrate that. And right here, and what Saul says, it's not so much the danger that he says. It's not the danger of discipline, it's the danger of deprivation. And there's a difference. Discipline is hey, I want to get down to 215, so I'm on the treadmill every day. I'm working. Here's the danger of deprivation. Oh, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. Therefore, I'm going to give up all sweets. I'm going to pull the skin off the bacon. I'm going to suck the yolk out of all the eggs. Life is going to taste bland. That's deprivation, and I cannot maintain deprivation. But so many of us like to deprive instead of being disciplined. It's the difference in the spiritual realm. It's when you start to define yourself by what you don't do as opposed to what you do do. It's the danger of deprivation. We find it in churches sometimes when man-made rules are more important and eventually they morph into something that God never commanded. Jesus talked about this when he talked to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15. And he's like, hey man, y'all are really religious people, but you've turned the commands of the Father on their head and you are pushing the commands of men. That's what Jesus said. So there's a danger of deprivation because the Pharisees were defining themselves by what they didn't do. And then they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. The danger of deprivation, we've got to watch out for it in churches. We've got to watch out for it in our individual walk. We've got to watch out for that in our spiritual walk as well. We are Christians. The Apostle Paul writes about this in Galatians chapter 4. I think it's verse 8. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. When you start putting the man-made rules and what you don't do, and he warns about, have you not now come to the weak and beggarly elements? Beggarly elements? And you're doing the commands of men and not of God? You're defining yourself by what you don't do, and you're doing things that God never commanded. It's not the way it is. So here's Samuel, and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go. I want you to kill the enemy. I want you to kill mine enemies, and you're not going to taste any success. You're not going to have any celebration until you accomplish what I've told you to do. So we've got the danger of deprivation. There's also the celebration that they were entitled to, right? And this is something I think we as Christians, if this is a day the Lord has made and we're supposed to rejoice and be glad in it, what can we rejoice? What can we find as we go through this battle? Because it seems like every single day is a battle as we go through. What can we find to celebrate and to rejoice in this moment? And Samuel says, don't touch it, don't eat of it, they've come to this woods. So they're chasing the Philistines. They come to the woods, and all of a sudden there's just honey all over the place. And they could have eaten, they could have been refreshed, and they could have done even better against the Philistines, except for the stupid command, right? And they weren't allowed to enjoy it. And they were suffering for it. And then Jonathan comes and he says, "Oh my goodness, my father troubles the land. Look, I've had a little bit of honeycomb unknowingly, but look how much better I look. Look how much more I'm revived. Oh, this is trouble." So this celebration, if they had just paused and celebrated at that moment, and there's actually some strength in that, and there's good Bible for this reason. And when I'm talking about celebration, look, I am not talking about excessive celebration. You know, when Joshua was playing basketball, one day I'm walking up into his room, and he's doing this. I'm like, "Josh, what are you doing?" He goes, "I'm practicing my celebration, when I make the three." So, yeah, this archer thing that he was doing. Okay, y'all, let's pray for Joshua. Prayer for But, you know, there's the excessive, you know, but we ought to celebrate. We see this on the football teams when players come off the field, you know, the coach will pat them on the bottom, you know. Don't do that in the handshake. Yeah, great sermon. Yeah, that'd be just awkward. That'd be kind of fun. But there's moments, and I say this because I'm familiar with the situation. Well, you know, I thought I was good at racquetball until I played the dean of my law school, and I found out I'm not so good at racquetball. But celebration. Familiar with the story of a man that got some private coaching on tennis. And the coach actually said, "Hey, I notice that when you make a good shot, you never reward yourself." And the man's like, "Yeah, I don't want to be that guy." And he goes, "No, it's important to celebrate your good shots." He says, "Do something like pat yourself on the leg." And the man writes, he's like, "Yeah, I never did it until I went to my son's piano recital where they grade him like on a scale of 1 to 5. I forget what this thing is called." And he said, "I noticed that as soon as my son got the score sheet, he didn't look at the score. He immediately turned it to the back to read the criticisms. My son had never learned to celebrate. He just focused on the criticism." He said, "That day I started patting myself on the leg because I want to model for him appropriate celebration." You know, we as Christians have that opportunity to model for an unbelieving world appropriate celebration, to model a lifestyle that is firm, to model for our family and our kids a lifestyle that reflects the faith that we have, that we serve a God of the impossible. So we got Bible for this, right? Because if we turn on over, let me get my glasses again. If we turn on over to Luke chapter 14, well, let me touch on a couple of other things real quick. Because Jonathan, when he made the decision to leave the caves and seek after the Philistines. I love Jonathan. And he made the decision to leave the caves and seek after the Philistines. That's why he won his skirmish. And that's why they were able to set the Philistines on the run. Jonathan was surrounded at this time with people who made excuses. And they had several, quote, legitimate reasons for saying stuck in a cave in defeat and despair and cowardice. Ah, the Philistines are too strong. Ah, we're running out. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you this. When the Philistines had met them at Gilgal, the Philistines had destroyed all of their armor-making capabilities. They had stolen all of their weapons. Only two people in the Israelite army had a sword. That was Saul and that was Jonathan. The people had resorted to using farming tools in order to conduct the battles. So there were some reasons to stay in the cave. The Philistines are strong. We're out of weapons. Our king is kind of a nut job. It's the government's fault. No. And nobody could deny that the Israelites were facing some enormous challenges, but what they forgot is they served a God of the impossible. And Jonathan did not just want to escape the caves of Gilgal. He wanted victory over the enemy. And just like with Jonathan, and Jonathan clearly states this in 14:10, the Lord, when he turned to his armor bearers and he saw the sign, he turned to him and he said, "The Lord has given them into our hands." In other words, we have the victory. We have the victory. And let's turn it more towards a spiritual analysis this day. Saul bound his people with an oath. Nobody eats until all my enemies are destroyed. And maybe we don't use that oath. Maybe we bind ourselves with an oath like, God is not pleased with me because I am, God's not going to love me until I'm not worth loving unless I get this under control. And we can bind ourselves. Maybe you're bound because of a belief. It could have been a parental figure that was jacked up in your life. And we see here Saul is not just a king, but Saul is also a father. And maybe some father figure or some authority figure in your life bound you with a belief and did not allow you to eat of the goodness of who you are. The Lord said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I knew about your mistakes. I knew about that thing is binding you right now. I knew about it. Still love you. Not a big deal. Maybe it's not a family that's bound you. Maybe it's been some friends that have bound you. Don't let bitter people keep you from enjoying the blessing of who you are. Don't let Satan suck the sweetness out of what the Savior's done. Because if Satan can't beat you, he will try to prevent you from enjoying a successful Christian life. But if you don't eat what's sweet, you're going to turn to something that's bitter. And so celebrate. Over in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, when Jesus preached his first sermon, and he went up and he unrolled the scroll to the exact place in Isaiah, the words that he said were, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." Brothers and sisters, that passage right there tells us that Jesus unbound us. He unbound us from the penalty of sin. He unbound us from the penalty of punishment. He unbound us from the beliefs that have been holding us down and causing us not to rejoice in this day. And in Romans 8:3, in case there's any question about it, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, For what the law could not do, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of law might be fulfilled in us. God sent his Son that the righteousness of the law would be fulfilled in us. Every one of you, hey, unbind yourself, because there is the belief that is biblical. You are righteous before God because of the blood of Christ. So, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm working on this message and I look into the reflection. And because I'm sitting there like, Saul, man, dude, you know, how could you be so stupid to not pause and taste of the honey? How could you be so stupid to just get wrapped up in your own agenda that it's just attack, 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 attack? Saul, how could you be so stupid? And I look up and I kind of catch myself in a reflection and I'm like, man, I'm no better than Saul. Man, I get stressed out. I get anxiety ridden. I get depressed. And I'm covered in the blood of Christ. What am I focused on? Jonathan said, the Lord has troubled the land. This is actually a phrase that's kind of sparingly used in the Old Testament. Usually it's used by God through the mouth of a prophet saying, the land has been troubled because of something you've done. And maybe today, I'm looking at a congregation where some of us are maybe even online, some of us are troubled because of something you've done, something that's happened to you. I'm here to tell you, this is a day that you are free. Taste and see, because the righteousness of the law would be fulfilled in us. Jesus dipped his staff into the honey and said, hey man, taste this, taste the grace, taste the mercy, taste the forgiveness. it is sweet to eat. Brothers and sisters, we're free. And we have a right to celebrate this day. May God richly bless you.